The scripture I want to use tonight is in Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. A familiar portion, and it has some thoughts that are, as I look at them, very simple. And we're talking about salt, very simple mineral, something that we're all familiar with. But yet when Christ puts it into his words and he says that he wants us to have salt in ourselves and peace with one another, we bring two words together, salt and peace. And so we want to look at this scripture and to see some things that God is would have us to look at. So if you have Mark chapter 9 and verse 50, it says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace one with the other." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to see the thought that is there. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves the way you look at us. Help us to see the scripture the way it puts us, Lord, and help us to gain from your word and from the Holy Spirit instructions this day. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in the verse before that, verse 49 says, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." In this verse 50, and it says, "Have salt in yourself and peace one with another," is very nice. It's always nice to think that we're peaceable people and that we have peace with one another. But sometimes this is not exactly at the way the scripture would have us to have peace. Sometimes we have peace because it benefits us. We have peace because we don't want to have issues. We have peace for, it all depends how close the person is that we are talking about to have peace. Somebody is down the road, some of our neighbors, it doesn't make too much difference if we have peace with them. But if somebody close to us, we want to be sure that we are close to them. But the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And so then our own motives are here. Jesus said, "I want you to have a testimony." And that's what the salt is. He says, "I want you to have a testimony. A testimony for that you are a Christian. Testimony that God's word is true. A testimony that that what God says, you can depend upon it. And a testimony that when I apply God's word to my heart, it brings honor and glory to him because he works in and through us." And so this thought, as I think about this verse here, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with the other," the term comes, true yet tender, true yet tender, but tender yet true. True to the gospel, true to your faith, true to everything that is upright and godly in the Bible, true to that, and yet tender to people you talk to, so that you have an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. You know, it takes both ways. And if we're lacking in either way, too salty, excuse me, I knew I was going to get one of these throats. Have a friend that comes here. He'd come here for a while. Irv Saltman. We always called him Salty. And so when I think about a character, Salty, he was a character, and he was salty. And but he had a love in his heart. He had a love in his heart for the souls of men and women. And when you were in his church, and he didn't see you the next week, he didn't see you this week, he was over to your house. And he said, "Did I say something wrong? Is there anything that happened? Did I do anything to offend you?" And he had this heart. He was tender. He was true to God's word, but he was tender. And so God wants us to have these thoughts in our life, the fruit of the life, our new life, the fruit of our new life is salt and peace. And as we think about salt, if you've ever had a cut in your hand and you put a little salt onto it, the first thing you want to do, you want to rub some water on it. You want to get it in some water to get away from that hurt. So salt has a stringent way about it. It has a quality that it gets rid of the germ. Now, you can put salt on the back of your hand where there's no hurt, front of your hand, no, there's no hurt. It doesn't make any difference, doesn't it? But where there is a cut, where there is infection, where there is something that is not supposed to be there, salt will make itself known. And it will make itself smart. There will be a hurt, and you will not like it. Somebody, you put a little bit of, used to be Mercurochrome. I like Mercurochrome because it didn't smart. But every once in a while, my mother would run out of Mercurochrome, so she had put some iodine on there. And that I didn't like that. But it done the job really well. You had to have them things. So salt is kind of like an irritation. But faithfulness in a Christian irritates the people who are not Christians. Faithfulness, when you say, where are you going today? And they'll say, well, I'm going up fishing. They say, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go to Sunday school, or I'm going to go to church. Why you want to go there? That bothers them. You know, it is something that is there. So the sterner things, boldness, having a boldness for the Lord. I never was a very bold person. Only if I got a little bit upset. Marlene would say, calm down now, you know. Don't get riled up, you know. I was bold in the wrong way, you know. But bold for the Lord, and you know, and say a word that for Him, bold in our righteousness, and then let that be a strong part of our life, that we tell the truth. We have a purity in our heart so that we don't have to back down from the Lord. And we have a holiness in our heart that we hold God high. His standards are greater. The things that He gives us are eternal. The things that He puts into our lives makes us more like Jesus. So it has to be strong. It has to be unbending. It has to persevere with when pain comes. When pain comes and you're talking to somebody about their soul, and you're talking to someone about their soul when they've lost a loved one, it's difficult, but it is one of the best times you can talk to somebody about their soul. It hurts them, but God brings them to a point where they can see that God's been speaking to them all the time. But it takes some things like that there. So it's an unbending. It preserves while it pains, but and it pains again, while it preserves, just like the iodine, it gets rid of that germs that are in there, and gets rid of all the things. Now we don't use them things today. We got a lot of new medicines, and I don't imagine, Lydia, you got any iodine or mercurochrome around to put on your young ones. You got some other things that have some softer names, some things that I have no idea what you use, but it sounds good to me anyway. But peace, you know, salt has sterner things. But when you talk about peace, this is what we like to have in our lives. But it doesn't seem to always be there. Peace, when it is there, makes its presence and nature known. When peace is in the midst, when there's peace and harmony, where there's something like that, you want to be there. It makes you feel good to be around peaceful situations. It makes you good to be around somebody that isn't out of sorts, isn't ranting and raving, isn't causing problems. You like to be around peaceful situations. There's some of the things about peaceful situations nowadays. They'll say, you come into the funeral home, you come into the church, turn your phones off. Turn all your things off. And everything's going along good. Pretty soon, ding-a-ling, 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 you know. And you'd say, oh, who's got the phone on? You know, I mean, it just changes the whole complexion. And it's got just a little bit of an update upward. And one of the things that bother me, I guess, is about that, and this has nothing to do with the message, but when I see a guy standing there, sitting there, they're standing next to me, and he's talking. I think he's talking to me, you know. Over in the other ear, he's got this phone. Bothers me. Bothers me. Peace brings holiness on the softer side. We had holiness on the salty side, the stringent side, but peace on the softer side brings people into hearing the gospel. When you need to have a listening ear, you need to have, when somebody you talk to about the Lord, they want to listen to you. And so you talk in a term, you talk in a voice that you are under control. And you're under control of the Holy Spirit if you're leading someone to the Lord, if you're talking to someone about their soul. And you know, you think about salt and peace. If you go to heaven, and if you could look in there today, there's a perfect match with salt and peace. Up in heaven, there's no disturbance, there's no diseases, there's no sin. And so salt isn't hurting anything, and there's peace and harmony, and everybody's getting along. Bible says in our verse here, have salt in yourself and peace with one another. I don't know what one of these two things is the most difficult to maintain in our life, to have the balance. Peace with one another is a big difficulty. You may say you're getting along good today, but something happens tomorrow. Something changes because you're on the other side of the fence. The person has said something. The person has done something. The person may have not done something to you, but they may have done something to one of your children. They may have said something about your grandchild. And I got into trouble a long time ago because I thought I knew a lot of things. And this is when I was in high school. You know, in your high school, you don't know all the things that you're supposed to. But I had an idea what was going on because I was a freshman in high school. And this fellow that was playing basketball, he was a sophomore. And I knew he was kind of a hot shot. And I thought, well, I'm going to have some words of wisdom. And so I said, boy, that guy, and I called him by name. I said, he really thinks he's great, you know, because this is the way he's messing around. This guy tapped me on his shoulder, sat behind me. He says, that's our son. That's our son that you're talking about. Man, yeah, it takes a lot of things out. And I wasn't making peace. I wasn't helping. I wasn't doing anything good for my testimony. And so I'm thinking, when we think about salt, the salt, that is our testimony. We want to guard that. We want to guard our testimony. Because, you know, it says in Matthew, the 5:13, that salt that is not good is cast out and trodden underfoot. Cast out and trodden underfoot. Now, you think about your testimony. You think about salt being your testimony. What happens when we lose our testimony? What happens when we move away from what God has called us to do? What happens that our testimony, we are the one that hurts it ourselves. We're the one that hurts our testimony. We're the one that causes our testimony to be people to look at and say, I can't trust that person. I don't believe that person. That person I've seen say one thing here, say another thing there. They don't have anything consistent in their life. They say one thing in church. They say another thing on the outside. They say one thing in church. This is what they say to their family. This is what they do to their family. And I never could believe that person again. So we find the person, that testimony, is taken from a place where it could do some good and bring God the honor and glory, and it's put out, just like it says, trodden down, cast out. And you know, how do you recover? How can you do these things? God has given us a wonderful message, and we need to think about this thought of our life. Life takes some bad directions, and we get some bad information from teachers sometimes. My oldest daughter, Janet, and she's not been here, and she wouldn't care if I probably said this, but as we were, and I think she was only like the 7th or 8th grade, which at that time she was, she kind of figured she was ahead of us, you know, the whole family. She graduated up to be the head of the family, and then she come home with some ideas, and we started listening to her. She says, where did you get them ideas? And well, my teacher in school, she said, you know, that's the way it is, you know. And I thought, that's not right. I said, you're not right. That's, you know, and so she took something and had a direction going wrong. She got straightened out, praise the Lord, and she's doing good. And, but it took her life is a good life. But we get the wrong directions. How many of we have ever been on the wrong direction? Somebody says something about spiritual life. Somebody says something about what the Bible says. Do you know your Bible? Do you know the scriptures? Can you think in your mind when somebody says something about some character in the Bible and they have something that kind of sounds strange? Can you go in your mind to that person in the Bible and say, that's not right. That's not right. You know, they get on the wrong track, and people get on the wrong track who seem to have a lot of influence. And so one person, if we look at this person, on the soft side, and in their life has been selfish, they don't care about telling the truth. They don't care about doing the right thing, and they just want to lay back and have a life that doesn't make sense to anybody. It doesn't do God any good. It doesn't do them any good. And we find another is selfish because they have a hard life. And they had a hard life, and then all of a sudden they're all bristly all over, and they have sharp points. When you touch them, they seem to be really affected by what you say and what you do, and they have sharp ways of talking to people. They hurt them, and they're sharp to you, and it doesn't it's not easy to be around them. But yet the Bible tells us to have salt in herself and peace in her heart, so we can get along with them people. Some people are difficult to get along with. And then some people say, well, I'm not difficult to get along with. You're the one that's difficult to get along with. That's really not what we're talking about. But some people kindle discord, and you maybe have come from things like that among the brethren. And they call it their own bad temper. They say, say something, well, that's my own bad temper. You know, but I'm right. I'm true to the word, and I don't care if it hurts anybody or not. And these things, they do hurt, and they never can take words back. You never can take words back. You can say I'm sorry, and I guess probably the best one that'll forgive you is your children or your grandchildren. I don't know of any children that hold grudges, but people hold grudges, and especially in the church. But true and yet tender and yet true, Jesus said, and he teaches about these things, salt and peace. He had the perfect balance of salt. He had the perfect balance of peace. When he went into a group of poor people and he started preaching to them, there would be 4,000, there would be 5,000, and they would sit there and listen to him. He would go into around the temple, the synagogue, and he would start talking. There would just be 2 or 3 or 10 or 20. And when he started talking, they left. They left. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. So there's going to be some things like that. In Luke chapter 15, we look at the way that Jesus applies salt and peace. In chapter 15, we find there's three lost things: a sheep, lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And I know you've heard messages and separated these things out, but the lost sheep is helpless and hopeless. That lost sheep, an animal that didn't know how to get back, couldn't get back. Maybe it was crippled, caught in the thorns, it had a place where it couldn't return and wouldn't know which way to turn back if they got loose. But it couldn't get out and needed help. And the shepherd went out and carried that sheep back. And the shepherds in them days, they carried them over their shoulder. And and that was the way they brought them back, because the sheep felt safe. They didn't want to get up and run. They didn't want to be out of sort. And so the sheep was like us before we come to the Lord. We needed help, and we were hopelessly lost when God was looking for us. A lost coin. This lady had some coins, and she dropped one. And in her way of trying to find it, she couldn't find it. And she looked, and she told everybody, I've lost my coin. I've lost this thing that was very precious to me. And that's the way we are in our life before Christ finds us. We're as helpless as that coin. We're as lost as that coin was from that woman. We were in a place where somebody needed to come down and help us. And finally, her eyes opened, and she seen where that coin was, and she called and told everybody to rejoice with me, rejoice. In the first one, when the shepherd brought the sheep back, he said, rejoice with me. I've found my sheep. And in the last one, the son, he was lost. He went away into a far country, it said. He knew where he had to go back. He didn't know how he could get there. He knew he wanted to go back to his father's house because he says, my father has servants and people in there that they're well fed and places to stay. He says, I'm going to go back to my father. But he could not move back. And the Bible says he came to himself. And I think that's when the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and woke him up. Woke him up and said, son, you know there's better places back in your father's house than you have here. And the Bible says that he got up and he started home. And as we think about these things, I like to think that about this peace and about this salt. The greatest peace is having peace with God. Now, I every once in a while I think about that, and I think, well, what's going wrong in my mind? What's going wrong here? And I gotta sit down. I gotta kneel down in my heart and my life and talk to God. I have to talk to God. I have to have peace with him. I have to have this time that I can have talked with God and everything is all right with him. And then when everything was all right with him, then my life starts to make sense. The things that I thought were problems, the things that I thought were difficulties, the things that I thought about facing tomorrow are all seem to be not so big, not so difficult. The greatest peacemaker is Jesus. And that's why we need to talk to him. He's the greatest peacemaker. We may be little replicas of Jesus. We may be little models of Jesus, but we're not like he was. And there's going to be some problems come into our lives. One man, and this is the opposite of salt and peace. One man has so much salt in himself that he cannot maintain peace with his neighbors. Now, I worked with a guy that he was kind of a cantankerous man, 27 years old, but he was just difficult to get along with. And he came home, rode to work with him, and he got out of the car and went to mowing his lawn. And when he was mowing his lawn, he was blowing the grass over on his neighbor's lawn there. And a neighbor came out and said, you've been doing this all summer. And he said, I'd like to have you turn and go the other way so that you blow the grass on your lawn and not on my lawn. And they got in a big tuff. And they got really angry. Not violent, but angry. And this man came in, lay down on the couch, and died. He died right there. He didn't have another chance to do anything as far as getting things right with anybody or anything. And I traveled with him, and he was not a man that you can talk to the Lord about. So one man has so much salt, so many things in him that he cannot bring himself to be peaceable with his neighbors. Another man is so soft and peaceable towards all, he scarcely has any faithfulness, which is indicated by the salt. And maybe, I don't know if everybody goes through these things, but sometimes it's difficult to have a testimony and stand out and do something that you can see something happen in a person's life, but you don't know how to say it. You say, boy, I need to say something to that man about the Lord, and I can see that he needs the Lord in his life, but boy, I just, what am I going to do, And so you lose that part of being able to minister some if you're too soft. So we need to be strong like the salt and stand up for truth, righteousness, faithfulness to God in the direction that he has called us to go, but we need to do it in a tender way, that we don't lose control of ourselves, we don't lose control of the situation, we don't lose the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. Now, that one that we're talking about could be really right in your family. That one we're talking about could be one of your children. That one we're talking about could be your husband or your wife. It could be somebody that you really want to do something for the Lord and do something for them before their eternity happens into their life. So we find that this part of our thought, and I just want to close with this here, to show faithfulness, sometimes we break peace. And another time, to show peace, you have to hold back the truth. I would never, ever in my heart, ever think that I would hold back the truth, that I wouldn't tell somebody what Jesus means to me. I wouldn't tell someone that Jesus can help you. I wouldn't tell someone that I'd want to always be able to do that. I would always want to have that much courage, that much thought, that much love for Jesus. A friend of mine sings a song, and I thought about this, Lydia. Betty used to sing the song, "I'll Tell You, I'll Talk to My Father About You." And I thought about that. And the song goes, "I'll talk to my father about you. You have a need. You have something's wrong. And I'll talk to my father about you." You know, that is one of the nicest things. I've been in some situations where I really didn't know what to say. And I didn't know how to approach a person. But they had the problem. They wouldn't let me get close. So when we parted, I said, "I'll pray for you. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you." And they, you know, people say, you know, okay, that there. So we find the difficulties, these difficulties really exist. These difficulties really exist on us being that, he says, have salt in yourself, not anything else, only have this personality inside of you. Have this, these words, have the scripture in your mind that you know what is right and true and faithful and true to God. You know these things, they're there. And then you don't want to give them up for anything. You don't want to give them up for anything, but you don't want to let a testimony pass by. You want to be true and tender when you talk to someone about the Lord, especially the young ones, especially the ones that are sick, especially the people have great heartaches in their life. They've just had difficult news, more than they can stand. Be very tender, but very true to what God's word is and very true to what God has called us to do. Because he may only call you one time. Just think about that. He may only call you one time to witness to somebody about that kind of a condition in your life. Or he may call you hundreds and thousands of times, like he did Brother Daryl. Daryl has a ministry. We all don't have a ministry, but we all can be true and we can all be tender. Let us stand and we'll be dismissed in the word of prayer. These words, I hope, have touched your heart, and let us see what God has called us to do. Heavenly Father, how we thank you and how we give you the praise for what your word talks to us about and how it gives us a direction for our life, Lord, that we don't have to wander around and we don't have to be concerned about what we're going to say. That we can just be true to your word, true to the things, dear God, that you've caused to happen in our life, true in all the areas, Lord, and then you will do that work of healing and touching and being close to people. And we thank you for this group that's here tonight. And it's been said to pray for Pastor and Adam and his family, and we do. And for all the prayer requests that went up tonight, for all the prayer requests that are on the prayer sheet, Lord, and each one needs a touch, each one needs some comfort from you, Lord. Each one, Lord, is somebody that's important in your life and in our life. We pray, God, these things might be accomplished. And the ministry here at Fellowship, Lord, will be a wonderful part of our life. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.